You're listening to Leila Doherty on the Modelcast, the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. And I suppose number one, obviously you're from one of the most beautiful parts of Ireland, up in Donegal. So how is Donegal today?
Donegal's the best county, but the weather's class. It's been the first good break in the weather so far this year. So it's been a great weekend.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. And did you have a nice Easter weekend?
Yes, we did. We spent it down in Dublin yesterday, actually in Croke Park. Donegal was playing against Armagh for the Division 2 League final, and we ended up winning.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. So all celebrations in Donegal last night.
It was a great day, so it was.
Brilliant, brilliant. So come here, I suppose, just to start things off, you know, how did you first get into modelling?
So the whole thing was purely by accident. So when I was about 17, I was still in like fifth year of secondary school. My mammy entered me for the Miss Donegal pageant and didn't tell me. And then wasn't until, like, she had all my photos, everything was sent off. She had everything like sorted. But it wasn't until she got the text saying, yeah, she's a finalist, she's in, and she has to actually now go and compete, that I was told. But kind of from that, I was contacted by a photographer, Jerry Gormley, actually, and he kind of got me into modelling, him and Lawrence Cook. And it was kind of from there it took off. I did one shoot, and that led to heaps of others. So I've kind of kept it going from there, but it's opened so many doors for me. Like, it was never something I myself considered or ever thought I would do.
Okay, okay. And just one question then for your mom. What was your mom, I suppose, or is your mom, like, into fashion and into the fashion scene herself? And then
she would be. Mum's quite stylish, but mum, I think, knows me very well. Like, as a young child, I was like, I always did like my speech and my drama and my public speaking. Like, I was never interested in playing football or doing like kind of what everyone else my age was interested in. So mum knew that was an interest of mine. But if it wasn't for mum's kind of like little push into it, like, I don't think I'd be doing this now.
Okay, okay. Very cool. And I suppose, look, the big thing is then was Miss Earth. So, like, I suppose, just to go back to the beginning, like, how did even that, I suppose, the start to that road of that journey?
I had competed for many others, and this was going to be my last chance. I kind of had it in my mind, like, if I don't get this, it's not for me. You know, there's something else, but go for this and really go for it this time. I really worked hard for it, but I had done Miss Earth Northern Ireland when I was about 17, a month after my first pageant. And when I entered at that time, I had absolutely no experience. I didn't know what it entailed. I thought the whole thought of having to fly away to the other side of the world was so daunting. But then going into Miss Earth Ireland this year, it was really well run, was what I loved about it. I have two amazing directors and they really look after you, and the whole process is so much fun. Like, there's never any pressure that's put on the girls. So went into that and I really, really worked for it every day. Like, I mean, before work, I was visiting schools, I was getting the social media posts, I was doing everything. Everything kind of revolved around it and the lead up to it. But I never had it in my mind of, like, you're going to win. I actually thought there would be someone else would win. So it was a massive shock because all the girls were like absolutely class. A lot of them I'm still friends with now, I speak to them daily. But it was such a massive shock. I never ever expected to win, and I never expected to get as far as I did. But no, I'm so delighted. It's been absolutely life changing, is the way to put it.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, like, Miss Earth as a pageant as well is massive. So obviously it's one of the biggest pageants on the
absolutely massive, so it is.
Yeah, absolutely massive. I suppose it's definitely, you know, it's one of the biggest in the world.
Yeah, it's part of what they call is Big Four. So you have Universe, World, Earth, and I think it's Grand International is the fourth. So I was delighted to be a part of that. It was really prestigious, and it was absolutely, like, it was kind of an awe being a part of it, because some of the girls is absolutely amazing and they're so serious into it. But it was absolutely amazing.
I suppose, and then bring us back then, I suppose, to the day when you found out that you won for Ireland. What was, how did that come about?
Absolutely not. So it was, so the whole way through, Miss Earth Ireland, no one had any sense of even who was winning or who was like the front runners, because everyone was well, everyone that was there was like gunning for it, but everyone was on a very level playing field the whole way through, and everyone was had done what they're supposed to do, so we never knew. And then that day of the final, it was very, very busy, and we had our interviews, and we went in groups of five, which helped. It took the nerves off us, which was great. But we still had no clue right up until the last like 5 or 10 minutes, because we weren't watching each other either. You know, you got off stage and you ran to your next outfit.
Okay.
And like that kept going the whole way through, so we didn't know how like anyone else was doing. But when my name got called, I was absolutely in shock, because like I genuinely did not think it was going to be me. Like I always love pageants, but I just kind of thought, if it's not for you, like there's something else, like you will get like okay. probably something again. But it was absolutely amazing. And my two best friends from like the whole pageant were the fourth and third runners up.
Oh, brilliant.
So they were looking at me on stage, but it was absolutely amazing. Just they were a great group of girls to be able to compete with.
And so from the date then, right, that you won the comp, what was the period of time between then and when you went to Vietnam then?
So I won at the end of May, and then I flew out at the end of November. So it was about 7 or 8 months I had to prepare for this. But from me winning, we didn't know straight away like what dates I was flying out.
Okay.
So there's a period of time of we knew the month maybe I was going, but we weren't sure of like exact dates for a while. So it was very much go, go, go then once we had the dates. Like there's a lot of people don't know whenever you go on to this. It's not a case of you just fly off at the end of the month. There's different sections to the pageant before you go that are now virtual since COVID. So we had the 7 videos have to be created. They had different titles of them. You know, it was a bit about yourself, about your country, your advocacy. There was another segment which I loved. It was the tree dress. So every year Miss Earth picks like a section of like nature that they base it around. So last year was fauna, this year they picked trees. So I did the Irish oak tree, and Aoife O'Dwyer actually designed my tree dress. It was absolutely amazing. You see photos of it off my page. It was like this big ball gown that had all the branches coming out. That was absolutely fantastic. But there was loads of different stuff that went on behind the scenes that wasn't like publicly shown. So okay. It was a massive amount of work.
Yeah, and I saw a photo of the of that dress. I think it was a great. I'm not sure who the photographer was. We were standing. I think it was obviously taken in a forest as well. But it's amazing, and even the color green. It's a real emerald green, isn't it?
She absolutely nailed it. Aoife has such a great eye. She designed my national costume as well, and some of my outfits out there actually. But it was absolutely amazing. I actually rewore that dress there last weekend. We just took the branches off it, and it just goes as a full ball gown now. But we used it for one of Aoife's new collections. I wore to a shoot last weekend.
Oh, very cool, very cool. And I suppose, and then bring us forward then a bit, I suppose, for when you landed in Vietnam. So say like day one, what was, I suppose, the vibe like then?
Absolute chaos when I first landed. It was such a shock. I had never actually been away from home before. I never done like the whole airport, you know, like trying to navigate an airport by myself and do a connecting flight. So my nerves were slowly just about getting to Vietnam because I'd never done it before. Yeah. But when we landed, there was about 9 or 10 of us landed off of 2 separate flights at the one time. So we were all together, and we had security on the other side of arrivals that was there to pick us up. But when I mean the doors opened of the airport and everyone was with their phones and around us.
Oh wow.
You would swear Beyonce had just landed to the airport, because it's such a massive thing out there where it's not so much here. But it was such a shock to actually realise how prestigious this was to them out there. It was absolutely amazing day one. And then from there we kind of settled in. We stayed at the Wink Hotel, so we were able to have a few days to kind of chill and kind of get our bearings as to what we were doing. But then the competition started kind of from the blue carpet. But there were so many Irish people out there, which was what I was really shocked by. If you actually look at my video where I walked the blue carpet, you'll see there's a massive Ireland flag in the crowd. It was just before I had walked out, there was a group of Irish tourists had actually caught me. So they stayed to watch me walk. But like, I looked like most popular walking out, because it's just a massive group of Irish tourists.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else, you know, was solely from maybe like Asia or Vietnam or touring the area, but it was absolutely amazing support. So it was.
Yeah. And sorry, just go back in that. So when you say you weren't outside of Ireland, were you outside of Ireland before on mini holidays, or was that your first time out?
Yeah. Well, like I
out that far.
First time I'd ever been on a plane was about 2 years ago to Liverpool. It was okay. Like a 40-minute flight. And then, you know, we'd done like Croatia and Barcelona and little things, but I was always with someone. I had never ever done a connecting flight, and I'd never been that far away from home. Yeah. And that was panicking. Like, I thought I was going to miss my flight in Qatar. That was what my main concern. But it was funny because there was someone looking over me, I swear, because when I got in the first flight, there was someone wearing a Donegal GA jersey.
No way.
And I heard him saying he was headed to Perth. So I thought, oh, right, he's doing a connection. We're on the flight to Qatar. I'll kind of keep an eye to see where he goes and see how to do the connection. That was fine. Got on the second flight. And as I was walking down the aisle, there was another family wearing Donegal GAA tops. It was like a wee sight.
You're listening to Leila Doherty on the Modelcast, the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you find, you know, when you first went into Vietnam, when you came out of the airport, did you get that blast of heat?
Yes, it was like 35 degrees.
Southeast Asian heat.
Yes, and it was like, it's so sticky. Like, it was like 35 degrees. There was no breeze. It was just warm. It was so strange. But like, I actually did really adapt to it over there after like the first week. It's absolutely lovely then when you do get used to it, because you don't burn out there. Like, there is sun, but it doesn't burn your skin. But it was just lovely. It was nice, especially that time of the year too, when Ireland's so cold.
Oh, okay. And then on the first night then, so were you brought in, say, to obviously like to a hotel and then get to meet some of the other girls, or yeah. what way did it go?
So, but we all had a date that we landed, but it was kind of over 2 days of different girls landing. Some were later, some were earlier. So we landed into the hotel and they kind of just got you settled into your room. And then it was whenever we all came down for dinner on that evening, you kind of got to mingle more with other girls. So it was from there I ran into Jordan Smith, who is from England, and Karis Harvard, she's from Wales. So they were kind of my two best friends the whole way through.
Okay, brilliant.
Especially because they can't understand my accent very well. They would say I was speaking English, but not proper. Everyone was speaking like their own version of English out there, but they think that I speak very fast. And especially when all three were together, they were like, no, this is like Chinese, you're all going so fast. But it was great to be able to like have them there. Like, they were great support the whole way through.
Yeah, yeah. And was the girl from Wales, was she able to understand your accent okay?
Completely. So she actually has a housemate in her uni house that's from Northern Ireland. So okay. She could understand even all my like slang. I like up here, we'd be like, hi, and like, to say something as like, I don't know, to kind of dramatize something, say something as like really warm, we say like, oh, it's wild warm.
Yeah.
She was the only one that understood that.
So it's funny, isn't it? So like every step in this way, so far, it's like everything is like lining up, you know, lining up. It was great to, as you say, connect with the UK girl, the Welsh girl. So you all settled, right. So first night there, you're just acclimatizing. You're in Vietnam. As you say, it's, you know, totally different culture. Would it be like, so did you have like a couple of days free just to explore, or was it straight into it, say like day two?
Kind of like more straight into it, but it was very like chill events. So we were kept into continental groups. So for our eco projects and stuff, it was like Europe stayed together, the Americas stayed together, Africa's and so on. But you could walk around the hotel, it was fine, but we'd have like maybe our sashing ceremony where we got our official sashes. It would be like nice events that was on to kind of break us in. And there, more so from days 3 and 4, it was very just like straight to it, up early, out okay. the door, on it. Like, it was great.
Yeah, and actually, I suppose one other thought then, and did you get, I suppose, like a specific, like a coach assigned to you when you were there as well? Or was it, say, like one coach or someone like would take a group of you together? Or did you have any like specific person?
There was what we call like our Filipino mommy, Edna. She was like over the whole group of Europe, but there was a massive team of like, I don't want to say like personal assistants, because they were just like absolute great support the whole way through. But they really guided us the whole way through. If you needed anything, you give them text, they were straight there, straight to your room. Like, they were the absolute best. But there could have been, I would say, maybe like 20 of them assigned to each continent. So there was always someone like that was there to look after you. Like, it was even insane, like, they'd be holding doors open for you, carrying bags, like, whatnot. Like, but they were absolutely the best support. And, you know, you could kind of maybe, if you couldn't get one of the officials, you could ask them. They were, like, the whole way through, just there for you. Cool. But they're absolutely amazing.
And as I say, and so between each different sector for that Mr. Final, how many contestants in total was there?
Oh, I can't remember fully, but I think there was around, it was like 94, 95. Wow. We didn't hit the 100 anyways, but there was a couple of girls who had actually travelled out but had like visa issues.
Okay.
So some of them, I think it was only one or two girls that maybe didn't get out.
Oh no, and could you imagine, doing all that travel, you turn up at the Vietnam airport.
That's what I was feared of.
Jeez. Yeah.
But no, it was great. Everything went smoothly on my end anyway, so that calmed me.
Yeah, and obviously, and I suppose then, bringing forward then, I suppose, to the final day, to the final event. If we bring it forward to the final the event day then, I suppose, what was pre-planned? Like, actually, no, another question is, would they have done a bit of, catwalk training as well? Or would it be more of a case?
No, it was very much like everyone to their own. You came with training. So I've done a couple of years, like, doing fashion shows and stuff I've picked up on my own. But some of the girls, like, I'm in complete awe of a lot of them because they're trained from such a young age to do, like, twirls and, like, 7-inch heels.
Okay.
Like, they could probably backflip, like, in heels. Like, they're so well-trained and have, like, such good balance.
You're listening to Leila Doherty on the Modelcast, the podcast.
And one thing then, I suppose, the folks, is the picture of the dress you had with the harp.
Yeah, so, it was absolutely
that's phenomenal, eh?
So that was Aoife Dreyer again. She had created that, but everyone, you try to do something, you know, to do at home. So her idea, if you look at kind of the bodice of my dress, it's very like Irish dancer, like very Celtic, but she going for like kind of like superwoman type of vibes, but we went with an Irish harp instead of actual wings to bring it back home a little bit more. And then we had to keep it in with the like kind of earth vibes. We had a big train out the back of it that had like loads of leaves, but they were all done in like a Celtic pattern.
Okay.
But again, Aoife is so talented, like nailed it so much, and that costume has been mentioned so much. I have it home with me.
Oh, do you? But okay.
To believe the try to get them wings through the airport was absolutely insane because the box was huge. Got it like checked and no bother because there was no weight to the wings. But I kind of panicked whenever I landed back in Ireland because we were waiting on our like luggage to come around on the belt. And like we were probably, I would say, like the last cases to come out. But my wings were there and like made it perfectly. So if all else failed, I had the wings.
Yeah. I watched a couple of the videos and pictures. And I think you were a great representation for Ireland, you know? It really was. It was, I love this, no? Because I love everything in Ireland, especially when it comes to, you know, everything. It's Irish fashion, Irish sports, you know, but I think you were like a really great representation. You know, it really was.
No, I enjoyed doing it. And that was always a dream of mine to be able to do it. Absolute dream come true. But like, I'm still in shock sometimes because I genuinely didn't ever like think I would get that far. Like I work in the shop and sometimes it's like an outer body experience because it's like people mentions.
Okay.
You know, like, oh, congratulations. And I'm like, oh, wait, like, I did that. Like, that was absolutely amazing to be able to do it. Like, and it's such a dream come true.
Yeah. And I suppose then, as you say, so then I suppose post then the Miss Earth pageant, then when you come back there, and like, did you find did that open up like so much like amazing, like new doors and like new opportunities for you?
Life has been very exciting. Whenever I first got home, I wanted a massive rest for quite a few weeks because when you're out there and especially just like being jet lagged, like I was so jet lagged all over Christmas, I wanted to come home and kind of take a few weeks to rest, because before I left, it was go, go, go the whole entire time. Like, from the second I got up in the morning to whenever I went to bed at night, I was preparing for this. So I took maybe January and February to kind of get back to myself and get back into the swing of work and routine. But now this last couple of weeks, I've been flat out doing photo shoots, and I have a couple of charity events and fashion shows coming up. So that's very exciting. It's all fun stuff to look forward to. And like, if nothing else, it's all about a crack.
And I suppose, right, so there's one question for you. So, right, so obviously, like, say for the girls now, right, who are after, they're following your journey, it's girls in Ireland, bring back notes, say like, Miss Earth Ireland 2024. Say for the girls who are listening to this, right, and they're doing all that now, they're all excited, come into it. I suppose, like, what advice would you give to girls who are entering now, who'd love to be in your position of winning Miss Earth Ireland?
My one bit of advice would be, like, you have absolutely nothing to lose. Okay. It's like, it's your own mind sometimes can hold you back, but, like, you have absolutely nothing to lose. And it's like, if you don't win, so what? Like, you go again. Like, you keep going. But that would be my one bit of advice is, like, truly go for it. Just don't hold back for anyone. You get no thanks for holding back for anyone.
Yeah. And I suppose, like, one question. So, like, what was it you think that the judges saw in yourself that, like, to crown you, like for Miss Ireland? Like, as in, is there anything, I suppose, in that maybe, I don't know, everyone is, I suppose, individual, but was there anything that you could, like, advise the other girls to maybe, I'm not sure, not even the word, it's like, not to aspire to, but maybe, like, that there's some sprinkling of magic in there that might resonate with someone else as well, you know?
Mine was, I think, absolute determination, because whenever I had gone into my final interview, I had actually made a scrapbook, and I don't know if anyone knows this, I had sat for like hours and hours a couple of days before the competition and handmade a scrapbook. I printed out every picture, I wrote out like pieces. It was just everything that I had done in the lead up to this competition, and it was going to be at the end of my entry, like, this is everything that I've done, like, I'm gonna work for this. And I think that maybe stuck, and it was a good show of all my hard work and determination, everything just that I had put onto this. But I suppose it's like, can you do something different?
Right. Yeah. To make him stand out for the crowd. And I suppose another question, like, I suppose they say, like, you know, when you're doing like your scrapbook and all that preparation, would you be someone as well who like visualizes? Like, would you have visualized yourself winning? Do you know what I mean? Some people like,
they always say, are good this at that, is actually, you know, a conversation me and my mommy had. It's like, you try to visualize, but you're also trying not to get your hopes up, because it does happen that, like, anyone could win it, you know, and you try not to put yourself in the position that if someone else wins, that you're going to be really upset. I had just the mindset that, you know, if you don't win this, that's fine. You've had like an absolute great time in doing this.
Yeah.
But it was like, you do try to kind of motivate yourself, as in the what if. I'm very like in my own head. I think sometimes if I think what if, I go straight away something negative. Like, what if you don't, like, you don't win? But it needs to be more of a case of what if you do win? So it's a hard one, because it's like, you try to, like, as they say, like, manifest it, but at the same time, it's like, you don't want to get your hopes up either.
Yeah. And come here, your mom must have been over the bloody moon, eh?
All I could see in the crowd was mom jumping up and down. It was absolutely insane. I could hear her on the other side of the room, like, screaming over, like, the music. She was just, like, ecstatic, because it's like, as well as, like, me doing this and putting all the hard work into this, this has been something me and my mommy, like, has been so heavily involved in. She is a massive part of this too, and, like, she's the one that kind of started this all. So it was a big thing for her too.
And come here, and she must have been so proud of you.
She's absolutely delighted. So she was
No. Come here, and it's great. You know, as I say, like, for me, my background more pre-COVID, I was involved, you know, in photography and different pageants around. And you know what? I always said, you know, I think the pageants are great. I think they're great for someone's confidence, building self-belief, even as well. Because I met girls before in the past who were in the pageants, and they said that they were quite shy beforehand. But then pageants are great for, like, bringing people out, because then you
they do.
Use the public speaking as well. Would you find that?
they really push you out of your comfort zone. Like when mom told me that night that she had entered me for a pageant and that like I'd be competing for a month, I nearly broke down into tears with nerves because I couldn't speak. Like in Ireland in school, you know, the way you'd always read aloud and class. Yeah. I couldn't do it in secondary school. I would actually have like a massive panic attack. Like I'd be standing up, like we'd be doing presentations for the junior cert and my legs would literally be shaking. I couldn't get my words out. You know, and you would have, like at that age, it was very tough too, because you would have kids, you know, that would stare at you and laugh at you. And like it made it more, put you more in your own mind about it. But from that then, it's like I went to, there's a woman that lives very close by. She's called Emma Porter, and she's also a massive part of like this whole journey. So she runs Vivid Performances, and she helped me with my public speaking and getting my confidence back.
Cool.
So she says she knew I had confidence, but it was just a case of getting it out. But it was from there then I kept like entering myself for things, pushing myself out there more, and like I've never looked back since.
And I suppose, and I'm interested, Effie, to know that, like, I suppose, how does, like, someone train someone or push them out to help with their public speaking? Like, is it, like, how does that process work?
So, Emma, like, was absolutely fantastic, and, like, she had heard of, like, the local pageants, but she knew how to kind of project my voice. Like, sometimes we would do exercises where we could be saying like a silly rhyme, but it was to get me to kind of yell my voice or project my voice. And it was all exercises. Like you might feel like stupid doing them, but like they really do work. And she helped me. She taught me so many exercises. My massive big thing was my trembling. If I could feel myself trembling, that would nearly shut me down. I couldn't get my words out then. I would start to become conscious of everything. But she taught me so many methods where I could kind of control myself and bring myself back to a level where I was completely calm the whole way through. So that was completely like changing, like changed the game for all my public speaking ever since, because I've still used every single exercise to this day nearly for everything I've gone for.
Cool. No, and that's amazing, isn't it? You know, and as great as us as people, you know, we're always evolving, we're always moving forward.
Yeah.
And it's great for the confidence builder. And I suppose then for your, I suppose the next steps. So would it be around May again of this year that the 2024 Miss Earth Ireland will be crowned? And I suppose the question is, will you be doing the crowning of the next girl?
So I'm not completely sure yet of details of the next Miss Earth Ireland, but I would hope that I'll be crowning the next girl. Last year, the Miss Earth Ireland 22, Alana Larkin, was absolutely fantastic. So she crowned me, but she was also a massive support. Anything I ever needed, no matter how stupid the question sounded, I could ask her. Like, I'd be texting her sometimes out in Vietnam, and keep in mind, Vietnam is a completely different time zone to here. It could be like 4 a.m. here in Ireland, and she would text me straight back. She knew completely, but she was fantastic, and I would hope that I could be able to do that for the next girl.
Yeah, you don't know. It's brilliant. And I say, come here, I think you're generally really, I think you're a great representation for Ireland.
Thank you.
Know. Really are. Thanks. You know, and especially as I'm very comfortable as well, is like Donegal. I love Donegal. You know, it's just such an, you know, I was it's part of Ireland, but it's just such an Irish part of Ireland.
It is. it's the best place ever.
Yeah, it's very like tradition in Irish as well. Even when you think back, you know, a couple of hundred years ago, you know, Donegal was such a traditional part of Irish, even with the fishing lads, you know, the fishing villages.
Still massive, fishing, farming, the Gaeltachts. Like,
it's still
massive.
Yeah, and I love it. And I love it. I'd be very sort of traditional Irish as well myself.
Yeah.
I went to an Irish primary and secondary school, you know, so I did all my schooling in Gaelic as well. You know? but I love it, you know.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Modelcast, the podcast.
In a year or a couple of years' time, is renting, you have even half in mind or something?
I'm not sure. I was massively into science when I was in college. Like, I studied pharmaceuticals for 2 years.
Okay.
And then I thought I wanted to go back to business or accounting, because I am quite, if I sit down and study something, I am quite a bookworm. But I'm not sure now, kind of maybe my interest has changed. So I'm not completely sure yet, but like, I know when I do something, like, it'll be the right choice for me.
Yeah. And I think you'd be a really good pageant coach.
No, thank you.
a good pageant coach, because as you say, because like, to be fair, like with Miss Earth, like, it is a massive competition. It is an absolutely massive competition. You know, as you know, and I'm sure that there's so many like jokers out there who'd love, like, you know, so even to know the process, you know, like, as in like the type of makeup, the type of fashion,
yeah,
type of hairstyles, how yeah. to walk, you know, how to talk, yeah. how to, like, there's so much in it, and you've gone through all of that now.
Yeah, so, there's different aspects people I don't think actually realize, like, that goes into a pageant. I think a lot of people, when I tell them that I do pageants, they automatically think of, do you remember that show, Toddlers and Tiaras, where yes. they show up in the day that's and they're, right. they're full of makeup? I think a lot of people yeah. have that presumption that that's what a beauty pageant is, whereas they forget that there's like maybe 4 or 5 months of work has actually gone into it before the pageant.
Oh,
it's yeah, not a case yeah. of turning up just.
Yeah, yeah. And like, especially, I know, because in Ireland, you know, in the UK, they were a bit more advanced into it. But like, because as I said, like, from photography, I would have been following a lot of the American photographers in yeah. the States. Like, in America, the pageants are huge business, huge money. Like, it's a different world in the States, you know.
Different completely.
Completely with massive sponsors as well. Show in America, yeah. it's huge on the TV, huge on thing. But as you say, but it wasn't until I started doing photography in the pageants, then I realized, wow, yeah. God, it's different to what you think. As you say, you know, when you say yeah. show, Toddlers and Tiaras, it's you know. Yeah. That's just
so much goes into it. Because there's even, like, I always say, like, I did my, like, pageants before I'd done Miss Earth Ireland. I never won anything or never, like, even placed in anything. But you still get opportunities and doors open to you just from taking part and being, like, a part of the experience. It's kind of whatever you put into a pageant, you will get out of it.
Okay. And as I said, it's amazing because, you know, even if you speak to it, as you say, like, you know, from that you did, you know, the shows in the past, but then, you know, obviously, then, but it was your destiny in the end to have won the Miss Earth Ireland, you know, in the end, you know, and I always think that, you know, with people in life, you know, we all have our paths and we all have our destiny. And it was definitely, you know, your destiny to win the 2023 Ireland side of Miss Earth. So
yeah, like, timing was right.
And what an achievement. And I think it's even, like, you know, in years to come, you look back on it and you're like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah. No, I'll definitely take it with me for the rest of my life anyways.
And I suppose just one last question that I suppose, and with Vietnam and Southeast Asia, would you go back there in the future, as in
100%.
Backpacking around?
Yeah, definitely. It's just like, I never, you know, considered traveling out there before until I had gone to Vietnam, but it was such an amazing country. My mom had actually gone out for the last 10 days and she had a blast. She didn't want him home. So I would love to go back. And then from speaking to a lot of the girls who are actually living in Asia, there are so many different regions that you could go traveling around in, different just cultures altogether.
Yeah.
But definitely if I was going back, I would spend like a month to 2 months just around Asia to fully experience it. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And sorry, just go back to that point. So, did you say for the final 10 days? So what was there a 10-day run-up? Was there?
No, so it was just with flights and dates that suited.
Oh, yeah.
Me and mum, so I have younger siblings, so mum only came out for the last 10 days. But when you factor in, like, the travelling, it takes, like, 15 to 16 hours to actually get out to Vietnam, so that's like 2 days travel when you go and come back. But out there she had an absolute blast, like, loved it. It was like the holiday of a lifetime for mum, and then for her to be there kind of with me while I was doing it was amazing.
No, as I say, I can only imagine her, you know, so proud. Yeah, and she's out in Vietnam then as well, you know.
Yeah, you know, as you experience said, for her too.
And for her, it must have been great, you know. I said, out in Vietnam, new culture, new, you know, and exploring away.
Yeah, they loved it. So they did.
Cool. And come here, just finish off and say, look, it's been great chatting. Do you have any, I suppose, final advice for girls who listen to this now and they're looking, not so much even like the Miss Earth pageant, just pageants in general or modelling in general?
Yeah.
Do you have any bit of advice, I suppose, for like someone who's looking to start out in the industry?
I think if you're starting out in the industry, sometimes it can be very hard starting like anything. It can be very, very daunting, but it's like, don't let your own mind get in the way. When I first started this, I was always worried about like, you know, what everyone else would think, especially with like posting on social media and the photos and that type of a thing. But you're doing no one any harm. Like if you're doing something you love and it's not harming anyone else, it's like, who cares? It's like, yeah. You just have to go for it.
Yeah. No. I love it. Great advice. Well, come here. Thank you very much for coming on to the podcast. Really appreciate it. And it was great. I think it was a great insight into the world of Miss Earth. And come here, thank you very much. And come here, and I wish you the best. And I'm going to definitely chat soon. And I'm looking forward to see, hopefully I'll be able to see it live for the Miss Earth final 2024. And hope to see you crowning the next winner.
Thank you.
No worries. Thank you. Thank you, Leah.
You're listening to Leah Doherty on the Modelcast, the podcast.